The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Keep up to date with our latest tweets at LA News Guy. That's twitter.com/LA News Guy. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
This past week, President Trump honored fallen law enforcement officers. He spoke at the annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service at the Capitol and said this.
We come together to pay tribute to the American peace officers who made supreme sacrifice.
He made this offering of thoughts and prayers for those who've been killed in the line of duty.
As president, I am deeply honored to join in this sacred commemoration.
And he went on to say that police have been ambushed and attacked.
To thank God for their profound courage and to express our love, respect, everlasting gratitude for the heroes of law enforcement.
And he talked about those ambushes and attacks and how that needs to stop.
The ambushes and attacks on our police must end, and they must end right now.
Well, joining us to talk about Law Enforcement Week and some issues in the legislature is the police chief of Southgate, Randy Davis. Randy, thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you, Larry. Glad to be here.
You know, I think the good citizenry of California respect law enforcement, but there are some out there who have just been piling it on and trying to make it seem like it's always the officer's fault. There certainly is tension out there. How do you sort all this out? Here in Law Enforcement Week, hearing from the president honoring the fallen. I mean, it's a noble profession, and you guys risk your lives every day to protect us.
Well, I think you're right. It's difficult. I think you're absolutely right. I think the vast majority of the public across the nation, certainly in California, they do support the police department. They support our military. They support everyone who puts themselves in harm's way to protect them. I think the voices of the detractors are probably a little bit louder than they have been in the past. I don't necessarily know that there's more detractors or there's more opposition against the police. It just seems like when there is opposition, it's far more vocal. And I think we've advanced with communication, with social media, and getting the message out on both sides of the aisle, regardless of what your message is. So I think anytime there's a message out there, anytime there's opposition to anything, it's just a little more amplified now than certainly it has been in the past.
Yeah, it seems like to me that there's been an increase in at least hearing the voices of anti-police talk. The president this week talked a little bit about that.
In my administration, we strongly condemn hateful anti-police rhetoric.
Well, it's good to know he kind of has that support out there. Let's talk about California and a piece of legislation that's in Sacramento. And you wanted to update us a little bit about this. This, from a layman's term, involves police officers having to pause at the time they might defend themselves and shoot a suspect coming at them or in a situation that is somewhat violent. Walk us through what's being proposed and what law enforcement, at least what you think about it.
Well, there's two competing pieces of legislation right now that are going through the California legislature. One is Assembly Bill 392, sponsored by Assemblymember Weber out of San Diego, and the other is a Senate Bill 230, sponsored by Senator Caballero. And both have to do with the same issue of police use of deadly force in the state. And one, the legislation 230 sponsored by Caballero is the one that's supported by California police chiefs and really virtually every law enforcement agency across the state of California. And it mandates training. It provides support for training for officers. It doesn't change the reasonable standard that the Supreme Court has set years ago relative to use of force in police and fleeing felons, contrary to Assembly Bill 392, sponsored by Ms. Weber, that actually does change that standard. And it's a small tweak in the language that may not be viewed by much from somebody who's passing by and looking at the legislation, but it really does change that standard. And the genesis of this seems to be through the unfortunate and tragic incident involving Stephen Clark in Sacramento a couple of years back, when unfortunately he was shot and killed by police. And he did not have a handgun. He had what appeared to be, he had what ended up to be a cell phone, and he lost his life. And certainly law enforcement does, you know, it's everybody, there's a tragedy with any time there's a loss of life. Everybody suffers through that, including law enforcement, but primarily the family who lost a loved one. And certainly law enforcement empathizes with any family that loses a loved one. But to have sweeping legislation and reform over one particular incident, over a couple of different incidents, it just doesn't make sense in the eyes of law enforcement.
Okay, explain to us what the change would be and the concern on this. It seems to be some sort of a hesitation that's ordered that, that officers would have to make that might put them in harm's way.
Well, it does. What it does was it entered the legislation, the language in it, changes a couple of the verbiage in there that has to do with reasonable standard versus necessary standards. In other words, if you go back to a situation, unfortunately, with the Stephen Clark situation, he possessed a handgun or possessed a cell phone and not a handgun. So in hindsight and in retrospect, was it absolutely necessary to use deadly force? Well, of course it wasn't. Had we known, had law enforcement officers at the time knew that he had a cell phone? They didn't at the time. But what it does, it places officers in jeopardy and harm's way for a criminal prosecution after the fact. It removes the reasonable standard set forth in Graham versus Connor by the Supreme Court back in the 80s. The officers are faced with what they believe is a life and death situation, not just with Stephen Clark, but with several other incidents throughout the state and across the country. When we're faced with situations where, in the officer's shoes, at the time of the incident, based on all the circumstance, in his or her mind, they deem deadly force is necessary to protect themselves or the lives of others, they deploy those resources at the time. To be judged after the fact, Monday morning quarterback, so to speak, after the fact, from somebody who has the ability to look at everything that the officer did not, is just, it's not justified, in our opinion, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, how would you adapt to this if you can't know the future? You can't know that it was a cell phone. How are you supposed to, how do you interpret this, that you're supposed to react if you're confronted with that situation?
Well, I think, quite frankly, it's going to result in hesitation on the part of police officers. It's going to result in loss of life. I think it'll be counter to what the author of the bill intends. I think if you have officers hesitating out in the field in circumstances where they think that they may be second-guessed, they may look, they may take a split second to use the force necessary to overcome the resistance or to overcome that particular incident, it's going to result in officers' lives being lost. It may result in other officers, civilians' lives being lost if an officer hesitates or doesn't take action, and then that suspect is not apprehended at that time but escapes and then wreaks havoc down the road with other civilians and other crimes that they become involved with.
I've seen those training films where they show a scenario, things pop up, somebody could be aiming at you, you've got to make a decision. How long do you actually have to make a decision when you're confronted with a situation to shoot or not shoot? Is part of a second? What is it in time?
Yeah, you literally have seconds. You literally have seconds to make a split decision, a life and death decision. That's why it's so critical for law enforcement to provide the training, the policies and procedures necessary. Now, we're not blind to the fact that we're not perfect as law enforcement officers throughout the nation. We're not. We draw from the human race, and sometimes we make terrible mistakes, and we try to deal with those accordingly. So legislation 230, Senate Bill 230, as part of the legislation, includes training, includes funding for training, includes updates to policies and procedures that many of us are doing right now anyway. But literally, it's a life and death decision that's made in seconds. Certainly by the time it took me to get that sentence out, a life and death decision has been made by an officer faced with those same circumstances.
All right, so which is the one you like? Which is the one you don't like?
Well, it doesn't come down to like or don't like. It's support or completely opposed. Law enforcement across the state is resoundingly behind and supports Senate Bill 230, and they oppose Assembly Bill 392. And we're hoping, we're more than willing, when I say we in law enforcement, police chiefs associations, are more than willing to work with the authors of both bills, more than willing to work with Ms. Weber, more than willing to work with the advocates and supporters of 392 and come to some compromise. Because I think at the end of the day, we both want the same thing, all of us across the state. Regardless of whether you support or oppose any bill out there, we want the same thing. We want safety for our communities. We want quality of life. We want our officers to be trained to their fullest capacity. We want them to act fairly, courteously, and professionally with the public. And we want them to be fully prepared to deal with a deadly force situation when they arrive on one.
So what can we do as members of the public? Can we support in any way? Can we call a particular person up there in Sacramento?
Well, where it is right now is it's in the assembly. So your local elected officials, your assembly members in your particular district, your local senators, and eventually this may find its way to the governor's desk. So contact your local elected officials, your local city councils. They can provide letters of support or opposition for either bill. And that's the way to go right now, is to contact your local elected officials in your city, your state officials, your elected assembly members, your elected senator, your state senators, and, of course, the governor's office to voice your opinion and let them know where you stand.
From the practical standpoint, some advice to all of us. If we're involved in a traffic stop, keep the hands on the steering wheel, don't make sudden moves. How can we make it easier for you to do your job and not feel threatened when we do have cell phones but we don't have guns? What would help?
Well, I can put this in probably the very simplest of terms, Larry, is just do what the officer instructs you to do. It's common sense approach. For instance, if it's a law-abiding citizen and you're pulled over in your vehicle or you're asked to stop, obey the orders. Do what the officer tells you to do. If they instruct you to act a certain way or do a certain thing, do what they tell you to do. I'm looking at it from both perspectives, from certainly my time as a civilian prior to being a law enforcement officer, and then after becoming a law enforcement officer. If you do what the officer tells you to do, and then that defense mechanism that we have is lowered just a little bit when we realize the danger is not there and our threat level is lowered, then we'll explain to you the reason for the stop. We'll explain to you the reason why we want to speak with you. We'll answer any questions that we can, providing we have the answers to those. But the simplest answer is, just do what the officer instructs you to do at the time. If you disagree with it, voice that disagreement later with either the officer or his or her superior, and I guarantee you we'll listen. We want to weed out the bad apples as much as you do. We don't want unqualified police officers working in our police departments, and oftentimes we don't know that until it's brought to our attention.
And with that, I got to stop there because we're out of time. Randy Davis is the police chief of the city of Southgate. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.